Let's do this thing. Hi, everybody. I am Chris Retz.
I'm Jack Mottman.
This is Three Blind Drinks. We have three blinded whiskeys sitting at the table in front of us. And sitting next to us, we have Jason. I almost said James.
Sorry.
Jason Van de Breek.
Sure.
You nailed it, Chris.
Yeah, Van de Breek.
I like that we're having you say it. I know how to say it.
Exactly. Yeah, Jack could nail it, but it's fun watching you struggle.
It is.
Just enjoying watching me in pain right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it really is.
Great. Jason is a voiceover actor and a theater actor, among other things, and we're going to be drinking some whiskey together.
Yeah.
You want to have whiskey number one?
Let's open it up.
All right. What do you guys smell?
Whiskey number one has been poured.
Hmm.
We are nosing said whiskey.
As Chris would say, we're sniffing it.
I'm doing the Jack Mottman sniff, which I know he doesn't, he didn't invent, but he's the one I discovered it from.
What is this?
And that is where you inhale not only through your nose, but through your mouth as well.
Oh, I like
so
this.
So open your mouth while you're smelling.
Oh, that's interesting.
So what
it's a little less harsh, first
exactly.
of all. Yeah, on the old nose.
And it'll give you a little bit more time to get some nuance. It's not going to flood your nasal cavities with just that because you're opening your mouth. It's all open, so it can just pass by.
Yeah.
What do you guys smell?
I want to just diffuse this smell in my home, personally.
Oh, it is exceedingly pleasant,
isn't
it? It's
very nice.
Like, it's
delicious.
Not harsh at all, and it's just, I don't know if I can, I'm so bad at identifying particular, you know, notes or anything, but.
Anything that pops in your head, like, that's really what it is.
So I don't know if this
I'm
is
getting,
right.
Go. No, you go first. You're
okay.
Suggestible.
I am suggestible. As soon as Jack says something, I will be like, yep, that's it.
Yeah, right.
I'm just getting candy. Like, I just feel like it's sweet.
Yeah.
And there's that something on the back end that's kind of like, I want to use the word like artificial, but that's not right. Like, it's that thing where it's like, it's not apple, it's the green apple Jolly Rancher. You know what I mean? Like,
ooh, <that's laughs>
or it's like, I'm not saying it's apple, but I'm saying it's that, whatever that thing is.
It's like artificial candied version of cherry
yes.
or whatever it is. It
smells like red flavor.
Yeah,
like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Red number five.
Yeah.
From the smell, it smells like a bourbon to me.
Yeah, it definitely smells like a bourbon.
It's got that sweet. It's definitely like, I don't know if it's caramel or caramelized, but it's kind of got that like darker sugar note.
And you've implanted Hawaii in my head. And I'm actually like, I'm getting like, almost like fruity, almost a little bit like a pineapple. But I mean, but that just goes to show the power of suggestion.
Yeah. We're all so suggestible.
Right.
Oh man, it's so easy to do. So Jason, while we're on the subject of bourbon, talk to me about bourbon.
Yeah, I am I am by no means a bourbon expert, but bourbon is easily my favorite, kind of whiskey. Yes, I'll kind of always go for a bourbon at the bar. Buffalo Trace is it's not my favorite bourbon, but it's my favorite affordable bourbon that everyone has. You know, I can go pick up a bottle for, you know, whatever, $20 or 30, $30 or whatever it is. I can't remember now.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I think it is the sweetness of bourbon that bourbon typically has that attracts me to it over, say, most scotches and stuff. So,
sure.
Yeah.
And how did you find bourbon?
Oh, man. That's a great question. I want to say it was, I lived in Nashville for a hot second, like 3 months, which isn't even living there, but I was there. Right after college. And I think some people who I lived with there, it was just a house with a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
And they were into it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I gotta try this out. And then I started getting excited about it. So like I said, I haven't like developed my knowledge incredibly, but I've tried a bunch that you know that I know what I like.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's important to have like the go-to like if bourbon is your thing, it's important to have like the go-to bourbon, and then the maybe some bourbons for some other contexts as well, but then like the special bourbon, you know, like the bourbon when it's an occasion, or the bourbon when you're like trying to introduce someone to bourbon and you're like, you want to know a really good bourbon? Here's a really good bourbon. So do you have that? What is your
my I guess it's, you'd say it's top shelf is blends. I love blends. Cool. It's delicious. So yeah, that's probably, I've never, you know, I haven't had like Pappy or anything like that. I would love to try it because I'm interested in, how the knowledge that something in my glass costs, you know, $400 whatever it is, will affect how I taste it. But I haven't had the opportunity yet. So
in our experience, yes.
Well, that was interesting. We did it. We did an episode where we had a $150 bottle. And I loved it for like the first 3 minutes with it. And then all of a sudden there's a switch flipped and I no longer liked it. I had no idea how much it cost either. This was 100% blind.
Wow.
And I was just like, oh, I don't like this anymore. And the rest of the room loved it still.
Yeah.
And it was just something happened with it. It went from like almost too decadent.
Yeah.
It was like when you have too much sugar on top of whipped cream on top of, you know, it was just like cream, cream, top, top, you know, just kept piling up to the point where I was just like, oh, this tastes sour to me now. Like it just flipped.
What a valuable exercise this is then, because think of, you know, if you had been clouded with the knowledge that, you know, crazy. I'm going to buy a case of this and then you, and I'm like, oh, I'm stuck with it now. But yeah, you're saving money. Actually, by
absolutely
by this podcast,
absolutely, and you're focusing on Jack has since episode zero. Jack has been a huge proponent of figuring out what you like and like not being swayed by like, you know, what you're supposed to like or like what other people like.
Right.
Or
the best way to drink it is the way you like to drink it. There's no rules, like. Like the way we connected on Twitter, I was just like, hey, do you even whiskey? And you just send me a picture of...
I literally, and that was taken live. I literally happened to be sipping a glass of Buffalo Trace with the ice and while you tweeted that. And I snapped it in my hand and sent it to you. So it was meant to be.
It was meant to be.
That is perfect. Yes. Do you like whiskey? just take a look at what I'm drinking right now. That's amazing.
Have you tried it, Chris?
I've tried it. And, when I did, you guys were talking and whatever you were saying just completely went out of my brain for like 30 seconds because I was really struck by this whiskey. What are you guys getting?
Go ahead.
I love it. Yes. Like I think this might be one of the best whiskeys I've ever had. And I'm pretty easy to please. Yeah. Like I tend to like what's in front of me. But this is like right up my alley.
It's definitely bourbon. It's sweet. Yep. It's kind of got that like whatever artificial thing we had on the nose, I'm not getting at all in the taste. Like it feels like substantial and real, like caramelized sugar that's been sitting and it's like aged,
sophisticated.
And it's like, sophisticated. Yeah.
It is sophisticated. I think there's something about there's like a bitterness. It's really sweet right up front, but then on the back end, there's like a bitterness, something that like kind of blunts it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And like when I think sophistication, I think like, oh, there's something sweet and light and fun kind of right up front. But then there's like this deeper, darker note to it that like makes me think that it's been around a while and like has developed some unique characteristics. And this definitely has that.
Yeah.
I'm getting like I'm getting a lot of like sour receptors on my tongue.
Interesting.
Like on the two sides of my tongue, kind of.
Yeah.
You guys getting that at all? It might be because I like preempted myself by mentioning Jolly Ranchers.
That might be. yeah. Well, I'm chewing gum right now. Should I not be?
Now you put it in the whiskey and let it ferment.
Yes. This is an advanced technique. Yeah.
Now that you said sour, I got sour.
And like on the kind of on the backs too of my tongue. It's really interesting.
But like for me, the finish is like really like almost soft and like,
yes,
it just kind of like keeps going forward and it's just, yes, like hangs out.
Right.
And it dissipates, but dissipates at a very, yeah, slow rate.
Yeah. It does. It hangs around for a while. Yeah. And it's really nice. It's like just a pleasant finish.
Yeah. Here's a weird thing.
Go on. Mm-hmm.
Intrigued.
So I talked a little bit about how there's like that sweet, for me, it's kind of sweet, tangy, like sweet and sour on the front. Mm-hmm. And then it levels out in this interesting way that you were describing, Jack. What do you guys feel about yeast? Like, I know there's not a yeast component, but like,
but as a flavor, yeah, as a descriptor.
Like
there's
like fermenting dough.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Like on the top end, there's like this weird, like almost bitter maybe.
Yeah.
That like kind of levels out a little
in
bit.
In that sip, I got what you're talking about and I'm not sure what it is. It's
so interesting.
Yeah. I can get to, fresh baked bread in there. Yeah. Like that. It does. That's what it is very sophisticated in that when I taste this, I'm tasting mahogany,
mahogany,
you know, and like a nice dark room and a roaring fireplace, as opposed to, you know, something I'm going to shoot with my frat brothers, yeah, or, you know, something, yeah, like that.
Totally.
I mean, it's very, yeah. Yeah.
So this is something I love asking people about, and that is context.
Yeah. Right.
And like how, you know, there's different whiskeys for like different occasions, sure, and things. And so for you, this is a whiskey where you're retiring to the study.
Oh man. Yeah. 100%. I'm you know, with a nice fat tome of some sort, some philosophical treatise.
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, it does. It is like that. And it does taste, this doesn't really, I mean, it is early in the day, but this tastes like something that would be, for me, that I'd like to enjoy at, you know, 10 p.m. or, yeah, or something like that.
Like, yes, really drink it slowly. Mm-hmm. Like, don't.
Yeah.
This is not something you need to, like, even if you have this bottle, like, savor it.
Yeah.
Like, it needs to be savored, whatever.
This might be pushing things too far, but when you're, which I want to do.
Yeah. Would I enjoy to drink it naked? Yes. Okay, yes. That is.
Thank you.
I thought that was assumed. Right. We were definitely not talking about the Swedish term getting drunk in your pants. But we were talking about that.
Is there any other way to retire to the study?
We study naked.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way to do it. Yeah. Thank you for not forcing me to ask that question.
I interrupted you. What was your...
I think the direction you took it was actually more interesting. But when you're... when you are in your study without clothes on, drinking this whiskey at 10 p.m., everyone else in the house, I assume, is asleep. And are you ruminating about something, or are you just chilling? Are you just like zenned out, just enjoying life?
Yeah.
What's going on with this whiskey?
I think whiskey in general, and especially drinking, alone, which is a whole other conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
It is chilling for, yeah, it is definitely chilling for me. Yeah. It is about letting go of the,
yes,
of worries and concerns and, you know, what's going on tomorrow and all that stuff. It's just, yeah, about enjoying the thing. And I mean, you know, this is some Eckhart Tolle stuff. This is this is presence. It's being, yeah, in the moment. And,
totally.
So yeah, that's what it's about.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's something about whiskey that totally like it just draws you. Even when I took the first sip of this, you know, you guys were chatting. I was interested in the conversation. And then I took a sip of this and all of a sudden it was like, like all of my senses just like went into this glass.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I was just like in that moment.
Yeah. And part of that's the context that you love to talk about, which is like when you're drinking something neat by itself, mm-hmm, there's nothing else to hide behind, right? Like, right, this is, yeah, the thing that we're talking about and this is it. And it almost demands your attention.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, this specific whiskey too, I think, demands your attention. It's like, it's not just like, I mean, I don't intend to shit on Jameson, but like,
yeah,
right. Everyone always, like, we ask people sometimes, what was your first whiskey? Yeah, and yeah. So many people say Jameson,
sure, yeah.
Because it's like easy, right. And it's background whiskey. It's right. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
Foreground background idea where like, this to me is like a foreground demands your attention. Mm-hmm. I will have two glasses of it and mm-hmm. then switch to something that I don't care about. So mm-hmm. I don't waste this.
Right.
Totally.
But I don't want to, like, I want to know what this is about and like exist in it for a while.
Yeah.
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 Also the thing about Jameson is that it's true. Like when we ask people, how'd you get into whiskey?
Yeah.
Not without fail, but like 95% of the time it's Jameson, really? Which is yeah. really impressive to me. Like if I was, yeah. if I was Jameson, I'd be like, job well done.
Yeah, totally. You know? Like, yeah. Yeah.
We are the introductory,
right.
You know,
yeah. yeah. That's fascinating. I think I can count the number of, glasses of Jameson I've had on one hand.
Oh,
like I do not, I haven't had that.
So
much.
You had the Nashville yeah. experience, which is like yeah. bourbon.
Right. I was, I guess just the proximity to Kentucky. You know,
yeah. It's yeah. close to Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's definitely
Nashville makes some whiskey too.
They do.
Yeah,
yeah. Impossible.
Tennessee, you know, they're known for a certain kind of whiskey.
Right.
Oh, really?
That apparently shall remain nameless.
starts with a J.
My favorite is that Chris doesn't know.
Wait, I think I know this one.
You do?
Yeah. Can I guess?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Is it Jack Daniels?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
See, I'm not that
but what's,
much.
But what's the name of the town?
Given enough time, I might know that one too.
You would know it if you heard it.
Okay. Yeah. What is it? Tell me.
I'm right. Right.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
We're in some whiskey.
Lynchburg.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Okay. That's,
it's like awesome. The famous.
And
Jack
it's
Daniels.
I think famously a dry county as well.
Oh, interesting.
Right.
You can't buy Jack Daniels where it's made.
That's the big irony of where Jack Daniels is made.
Yeah.
Which is kind of America in a nutshell. Right there.
And on that note, let's go to the next whiskey.
Whiskey number two.
Here we go.
Politics have arrived. It's time to pour the next whiskey.
Right. Oh, Chris, we forgot to name number one.
Oh, no.
We named okay. each whiskey.
Oh, oh all right. That's fun.
So pencils down.
So number two, what do you want to call it?
Number two, it was sweet.
Grabbed your attention.
Jason and I really enjoyed it. Jack, mm-hmm. what were your thoughts on it? Were you just kind of like,
I think it's a nice bourbon.
Okay.
I didn't knock my socks off, yeah. but it was clearly well made. And
yeah.
like there's nothing funky about it. There's nothing right. off-putting at all.
Do you think, how quintessential do you think it was as a bourbon? Like, do you think?
Well, I guess it depends if you mean like the go-to example or like the epitome of like yeah.
I think
bourbon.
Was that how close was that to the platonic ideal of bourbon?
How many different ways can we say the same thing?
You, sir, are an eloquent individual.
Well, thank you.
I think you should, what were the words? I was going to say, I think this is the first episode that the words fat and tome have ever been yes. put right, together.
So what can I say? I love fat tomes.
And I cannot lie. Some other brothers, they'll deny.
I love well, a
when
fat
you go to
tome.
That study.
When a book walks in. Okay, here we go. Let's stop. Now
I see, love a fat see. Tome.
Okay, so number
should we call whiskey number one fat tome?
Yes, it is 100%. Fat tome.
100%.
Okay.
Wait, why edit anything? It all right. stays in, Jack.
Exactly. What's in the show is in the show.
This
is more subtle.
It is.
This is more subtle. This can you tell by just the nose whether it's higher proof? This feels a little boozier to me.
Oh, I was going to go the other way.
Oh, really?
I was going to say it's lesser proof.
Yeah. Jason, are you saying that because it kind of stings the nostrils a little bit? As Ron Burgundy would say?
Stings the nostrils.
I feel like I really have to search for the sting.
I'm getting it. I'm definitely getting like more so than the last one.
Or
the
maybe
kind of like alcohol sting at the top of the bridge of the nose.
Or maybe it's not the alcohol I'm getting. Maybe it's just that it's a little less sweet smelling, and that's what I'm responding to. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that, right? Like
it smells less sweet for sure. Mm-hmm. Like I'm almost getting lemon in there. Like some sort of citrus.
Yeah, I could go with that.
Right, I'm trying it.
Being the suggestible.
I'm getting Mai Tai. Suggestion.
Okay. The proof you're talking about, it's in the taste.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
See, that's how good I am.
Yeah.
That's how perceptive.
You got it going on.
So wow. We've had some tasting happen. What do you guys think?
Ooh. The finish on this is interesting for me.
It's so different. It is. To me, it couldn't be more different than...
Like, if those are both bourbons, I'm impressed by the range of bourbon right now.
Agreed. Yeah, so the alcohol is definitely forward on this one.
It shows up.
It kind of blows up your mouth a little bit with the alcohol. Which I think you tend to kind of, like, if that's your first sip of a whiskey, mm-hmm. That tends to go away, right? And the other flavors tend to reveal themselves, like, on further.
Yeah. It's interesting that it hit all of us, and it's the second thing we drank. Because usually I get that alcohol hit the first thing I drink of the day, you know, where it's like, oh, yeah.
Maybe that's why our benefactor wanted us to order them in the way that he did.
Yeah,
This is it's a little bit more of an alcohol bite than I like, but you know, it certainly has its place. It's just
there's something. So I'm receptive to the citrus thing you were talking about, Jack. But there's something like softer and kind of flatter. Like I don't know. Like butter or bread, not bread, but like butter or something softer.
Yeah, butter.
Or maybe like nuts, like almond or something.
Which one is this? Can I see the color of it again? Okay, so this is definitely lighter in color than the one we had.
Yeah. Than the Fat Tome.
Yeah. Fat Tome's
pretty red.
Pretty, it is.
Pretty red and pretty dark.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say this is an Irish whiskey.
Okay, and what makes you say that, Jack?
I think the lightness and then the alcohol forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been fooled so many times on this podcast by Irish whiskeys, and I've called them bourbons.
Oh, really? Like, interesting.
I've like Redbreast, which I love.
Uh-huh.
Had it blind, and I'm like, that's clearly a bourbon.
Oh, wow. You know,
I was very confident about myself. Wow. And then when it was revealed, I was just like, I don't know what to do with this. Like,
yeah.
I still love Redbreast, but maybe that's why I love Redbreast is because it tastes like a bourbon.
It's bourbon-y. Yeah. Yeah.
So something about this to me is saying Irish.
Okay. It's time for Chris Rutz to make a wild stab in the dark. Ooh. And being a neophyte, I tend to not do this because...
Go. Take a swing.
So here's a word I haven't used in a long time, but what do you think about rye?
Oh.
Like, so I'm kind of digging back into a previous episode where we talked a little bit about rye and like what distinguishes a rye, and I don't think I made it super clear in my mind what that was exactly, but there's some sort of like slightly bitter, slightly bready thing that like complicates the sweetness.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it.
That I'm maybe getting here. I don't know.
Yeah. Do you like rye?
Complete shot.
Yeah.
Dark.
Okay. I do. This. You know what? This. And again, I am not an expert by any means, but this tastes like a Sazerac to me.
Oh, which is a rye cocktail.
It is a Sazerac rye, right? It also tastes like the cocktail, right?
Interesting.
I think it's rye.
Oh,
forgive me if I'm
wrong. I like it,
listeners. Wow. Okay. But that's maybe.
I like how you said that. It complicates the sweetness. Cool. That is what it does. Mm-hmm. Like rye. So like I got my dad a bottle of Bullet, which he loved, and then he was out. You know, as you are. And then he couldn't find Bullet Rye. He's in North Carolina. And so he bought a bottle of Maker's Rye or something.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, this is way too sweet. There's no... But he was missing the complication.
Yeah.
He wanted the like bitter, kind of aggressive, like peppery thing that rye brings to the table.
Yeah.
And so then I think I turned him on to like Jim Beam Rye, which is more in that vein. But I think that's the thing is like, I think when you, so we did an episode with a buddy of mine who represents Woodford Reserve.
Oh yeah.
And he gave me a bottle of their Woodford rye.
Yep.
I drank that like it was going out of style. Oh, really? Like, yeah, yeah. It is gone, and it is just like obliterated. My wife was like, "What is it about this?" And it was just like, "It's easy."
Yeah.
It was also free. You know,
It's easy to drink it fast when it's when you didn't spend money on it.
But it's something about that. Like, and it, when I come home, it's like I don't want necessarily something sweet. I want something like complicated.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, because there's something about, like, definitely the ease of drinking, but then there's also something about something that's interesting that probably makes you want to drink it more than something that's, like, just sweet, you know?
Right.
It's kind of like cake. It's kind of like how, you know, cake is great, but you don't want to, like, sit down and eat an entire cake, whereas, like... A bag of potato chips. Okay, if you want to eat an entire cake, that's cool. But like a bag of like potato chips or something, I could totally blaze through that because it's like kind of interesting. And
but it's the same thing you guys liked about the first one, the Fat Tome. Is it was sweet, but then it had that that bitter thing at the end.
Yes,
that kept you coming back. Like, it made you want to ponder and like sit. And like,
because
that's a sweet, number one is a sweet whiskey.
It is
very sweet,
but still complex. So it's interesting what makes something, you know, sophisticated or complex or whatever. It's kind of hard to put your
What are the differences between these two whiskeys that we had?
I mean, they feel so different to me.
They do feel very distinct, but we're kind of using
a lot of the same words.
Yeah. So it's hard to say.
Can you go back?
Yeah, you want to go back?
Can I?
Let me here. I'll get you another glass.
Oh, thank you.
I'll tell you what. This is a three blind drinks first, actually, but I love it.
Mm.
Well, no, I love it. I'm speaking way off my Luke kept all three of them in front of him.
Oh, that's true. That's true. And Luke was kind of like the most expert-y
tastery.
Expert. Yeah, yeah.
So here, this is the first one.
Okay. You're following in good footsteps right now.
Great.
I think the way that they're different is that this one, the second one we're drinking, I don't know what we're going to call it, is more assertive in its alcohol. It's not as rounded off. It's more sharp.
Yes,
and it's got that rye spice that you guys were talking about, that it's got that like pepper and like rye, you know, that like, it, like the bready thing we talked about.
Yeah.
But it's got that like complication, like pepper.
Yeah.
What do you got?
This tastes so different from the first time.
I want to try it.
I mean, it is amazing how tasting the second one has affected. I mean, that's it to me.
So Jack brought in a fresh glass. Jason re-poured the first one.
Oh, wow. We were like, that is a different whiskey.
Jack and Jason are retasting after, they're retasting the Fat Tome after having had the second whiskey. And are saying that it now tastes like a completely different whiskey.
Yeah, it's to me it tastes way sweeter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's I don't know if it tastes sweeter to me. It just tastes I don't even know if I can put my finger on it. It just has a different
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. It tastes like a completely different whiskey than the one we had the first time.
Okay, now I'm going back to non-Fat Tome.
It's still really good. That's I like it more now than when I had it fresh. So, like, that's weird to me. I think the first whiskey, Fat Tome, on second tasting, after we went, tastes more like it's... more luscious, more oily.
Yeah.
It's that luxury that we were talking about comes in spades in the second tasting.
I think it's because this, the second one, which we haven't named yet, is it smacks you in the mouth more. I think peppery is a really good, I don't know if it tastes like pepper, but like in terms of the experience on your tongue.
So, I can get down with Irish whiskey too, maybe, because it is definitely how I, it either tastes like a scotch on the slightly sweeter side, or, you know, as my one fact about scotch that I know is that a Speyside is a little bit on the sweeter side.
Yeah.
So maybe something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can definitely get an Irish too.
Man. Hmm. So interesting. I imagine that our, I don't know. Can you have like a truer experience of whiskey? But I imagine that the truer experience of the Fat Tome was the first one.
Yeah.
Before we kind of got smacked in the mouth by this second whiskey, because after whiskey number two, you know, you go back to something that doesn't like hit you quite as much. And it just seems a little bit tamer, you know, and it kind of strikes you a little bit less.
Yeah. I'm 100% rye. It's gotta be a rye.
Wow.
The last sip for me was like, brought me back to all the, like my introduction to rye, which is bullet rye. It just like has that same thing.
Amazing.
Yeah. God, this is, I feel like from now, cause usually when I, you know, go to the bar or at home, I'm drinking, you know, Four Roses throughout the evening. I'm going to have, you know, two or three of those, but it's so fun to you know, go back and forth. Like, it's really interesting.
I think I'm fascinated by the back and forth now. Like, most people will tell you like the order you drink things will definitely affect your experience. Like this may not have hit you in the mouth if you had it first, you know, this, what are we calling this?
Hit you in the mouth. yeah, you know.
I'm thinking the smack.
Ooh, that's good. Oh, that was on NBC. Was that NBC? I think it was.
Or just smack.
The smack is smack.
Yeah. I'm really feeling like I want another one, like really bad right now.
I might say I'm jonesing for it.
I'll do anything.
What are we drinking naked?
I think I heard a little bit of the voice actor promo voice coming out there.
Yes. The smack now available at whatever. Captain Cork.
I'll do anything for the smack.
I'd do literally anything.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, great. Very pleasant. I did enjoy the second one very much. It was great. Yeah.
I like it too. The alcohol forwardness for me makes it. I think I would be less inclined to kind of drink it on its own.
Yeah.
Like I think we talked a little bit about when we were having the Fat Tome that maybe that was a whiskey that you want to drink as like a pastime.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yep.
Like.
Yep.
I want to drink whiskey, and so, and like, I want that to be like the thing that I'm doing is like enjoying a pour of whiskey, you know? And so maybe I would use number one over the Fat Tome over the currently on,
Smack.
The smack over the smack, for that purpose.
Yeah.
Whereas like, you know, this might be more of a whiskey that like,
you're doing laundry. Cleaning around the house,
giving my girls baths, parenting.
I'm parenting,
yelling at the neighbors.
I'm just drinking the smack.
Lucky I'm not drinking Fat Tome over here. Oh my gosh!
This is the loudest episode we've done.
Did I bring some loudness?
No, Chris is always loud.
It's the vocal talent. I've been inspired by the vocal talent.
That's wonderful.
All right, should we move on?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Whiskey number three.
All right.
Wow. What a journey. Like, for real. This is so different.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So Billy's Hawaii inspiration was correct. This was the right order.
Yeah. This is a Honolulu whiskey. Ooh. Maybe they do. Who knows? Maybe they do. If they make it in Japan, maybe they make it.
Every time we try to like assert any sort of like narrative, it's always wrong.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, the one time we accidentally talked about Japanese whiskey, and it turned out we had drank a Japanese whiskey.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I kept being like, oh, I've never had Japanese whiskey. I'd really love to try one sometime. And I'm pretty sure we were drinking one at that moment.
Yeah. No way. Oh, wow. Yeah, so you never know.
So this is way more lighter for me. It's like, this is like if I thought the second one was subtle.
Yeah.
This one is like subtle.
Mm. It's lighter in color.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it literally is lighter.
For sure. I really don't know. Jack, is there anything that you can say generally about lighter whiskeys or not?
Like, okay, so bourbon is made with new French oak that's been charred. And so generally new oak imparts more flavor and more color. Okay. So all scotch has to be used with used barrels.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't have to be bourbon barrels, but bourbon barrels are the cheapest. Mm-hmm. So the Scottish, at the beginning of making scotch, opted to only use bourbon barrels for a long time.
Okay.
So a lot of used oak, whether it be sherry cask or whatever have you, doesn't impart as much flavor or color. Also, Scotland is a lot cooler than a lot of the United States, so you get a lot less color imparted because the heat is what makes the whiskey go in and out of the wood, which gives you more color.
Okay.
So when it's cooler, that happens less, and so you get less color in general.
So yeah, so maybe scotches would be a little bit lighter in general. Yeah.
Sometimes. I mean, Irish whiskey, sometimes you get light as well.
Yeah.
Like a Jameson is light colored, Bushmill's light colored, you know. It also has to do with whether or not it's a pot still or a continuous still. Like, that makes a difference too.
Sure.
Ooh, I don't even know. I've never even heard those terms.
Those terms?
Yeah. Ooh,
yeah. So what's the difference?
So pot still is like the traditional way. It's like a copper pot still. Like, so you'll see it on some labels. It's like bulbous and it comes to a point. And the story goes that, it's true that they impart more flavor. They're less precise. Mm-hmm. And so you get a lot more impurities, which you also get more flavor from a pot still.
Yeah. Okay.
And a continuous still is a faster way to make it. And I think it's more scientifically like precise, and so you don't get as much character out of a continuous still.
Is it the case that like mass produced whiskeys are usually continuous?
Yeah. Right. I mean, you'll have a really big people use copper pot stills, but they do it on purpose. Like, they want to do it. They want it to be a certain way. Like Redbreast is famously a copper pot still. Brought that up a lot in this podcast for whatever reason.
Interesting.
And continuous stills are like, so the confusing thing, like, we had Nika coffee malt. That's the Japanese we were talking about. Oh, it's not coffee because it's coffee flavored. It's a coffee still. So the person that invented the still was named Coffee. C-O-F-F-E-Y. So that still that he invented, I think, is a continuous still, I think. That's why it's called that. So the Japanese style made with a coffee still, that's why it's called Nika coffee grain.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you guys, have you tried a lot of Japanese?
Just that one. Yeah. No, we had another one last time.
That's right. Also Nika. The wives episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good too.
And I really enjoyed it. I think that was my favorite one.
Took it home
that time. It was delicious.
My local Wolf and Crane, down in Little Tokyo, the Wolf and Crane bar, they specialize in Japanese whiskeys stuff. And I have it. That's another reason why I kind of want to get into more scotches and other stuff besides bourbons, because, you know, they have a whole bunch of them and I'm there a lot, but I don't feel like I'm taking enough advantage of it. So, yeah.
I feel great. I'm like in the process of trying to build an app to make whiskey drinking easier in LA. And I think I stumbled across Wolf and Crane because they have so much Japanese whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah. They've got a great selection.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Oh, that's great. Is it like kind of down the street from your place or like near your place?
We used to, we've lived two different places in Little Tokyo, and the arts district, but basically right across the street from each other. But we literally lived across the street from Wolf and Crane. Like, so it was just way too easy to go there. But so that's our bar.
Oh, have you guys tasted this?
Sounds
yes. Amazing.
Have you tasted this?
I have not.
It's a sweet bomb.
Is it? Mm. Oh, good. I'm so excited.
I mean, Jason just gave me a look like,
are you crazy?
I'm just getting how alcoholy it is. Yeah. Like, okay. It is really, I feel like this is a really high proof whiskey. I'm definitely getting sweet.
Just like, on the nose, I would agree. Like, it's definitely, again, stinging the nostrils.
Yeah.
I'm also, though, like, maybe getting, like, vanilla or...
This one has, like, a yellow cake-ness to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I like yellow cake. Sure. Yeah, that's great. I mean, I like yellow cake.
Oh, I thought you were like, you know, I'd like to have a piece right now.
I like yellow cake generally, but I also like it in terms of a descriptor for this.
I don't know what to do with this whiskey.
It's like kind of bland sweet cake. Yeah. Kind of.
This is weird.
It is. And again, power of suggestion. I'm kind of maybe Japanese.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it sort of has that.
Whoa.
You just taste it?
Yeah. Wow.
What's wow? I mean, yeah, I have the same reaction, but I don't know why.
I had the exact same reaction. I don't know what to do with this whiskey.
Wow. It's so, okay. Do you know, so a lot of times when we taste a whiskey, we talk about kind of whether or not it likes to hang out.
Yeah.
And we also, this isn't exactly the same thing, but kind of in tangent to that, we talk about like how like kind of like the mouthfeel, I guess, is one way to put it. And so it's like, does it coat your mouth? Is it kind of oily in that way? Or is it more watery? Does it just kind of like run right through your mouth?
Yeah.
This one, like, oh man, it's almost dry.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say too. It feels thinner a little bit to me. Not in a bad way.
Yeah. If so, it's weird because it's dry, but it explodes with sweetness. So that's why I'm saying it's weird, is because it's like, it's got that tannic thing.
Yeah.
That like, I think comes from
tannic. Yeah.
Comes from barrels. Right. So it's super dry and it like sucks all the moisture out of your mouth.
Sure.
But at the same time, it's sweet. It's like yellow cake.
Yeah.
So it's like an overbaked yellow cake.
Yeah.
That's like sucking all the moisture from my mouth. I don't know what to do with that.
No, that's why it's fun. When you taste like this, you kind of figure out how to differentiate all the like, it's like you've got an audio mixer in front of you, and you're all the different sliders are like flavor or notes or whatever. Yeah. And you try and figure out how to separate, like, oh, this one's a little bit up and this one's a little bit down on the dryness, but up on the sweetness. Or yeah, it's fascinating.
Man, I'm blown away. Like I love it because I don't know that I've had an experience quite like this yet.
This is singular.
You used the word explode, and like, that's totally right for me. Like I think I've been talking way too much about candy up until now. So that's why I held back. However, I almost invoked Pop Rocks.
Oh yeah.
Because of like what this does in your mouth, you know, it's almost like it's saying like, most whiskeys are just like, yep, I'm going to kind of run over your tongue and go down the back of your throat. This one's almost like, nope, not going. I'm going to stay here. Yeah. Like, it just kind of like blows up in your mouth and like hangs out in your mouth, which is
this not punishing your esophagus? Like, to me, it really is. Really? Like, okay. Maybe it's just because it's our third one.
Yeah, but like, you're like down in your chest.
This is giving me the heartburns.
The like warm,
you know?
I'm getting it in my mouth. Like, I'm feeling like high alcohol.
Well, that too. Yeah.
It feels, it feels like the alcohol is refusing to go into my stomach, and it's just like
hanging out.
Yeah. It's just like, I'm going to blow up right here on your tongue, and it's just going to hang out right here.
Oh, that's so fascinating.
It's like, really interesting.
I'm going, because I have nothing to lose, I'm going 100%. This is a Japanese whiskey.
Okay.
No basis for this other than it's slightly similar to some other Japanese whiskeys I've had.
Going back to our discussion over number two, though, this is the type of whiskey that I would drink a ton of, just because I keep going, wow, that's interesting. What was that again? I keep wanting to return to it to have that experience again and try to figure out like what.
Do you have it over and over, or does it dissipate?
So far, it has not.
What do you mean?
What do you
guys think? Like the explosion, does that happen every time you have a sip?
It does for me. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And it's interesting because if that's the third one we're having, that says a lot about that whiskey. Like it's not, it's like standing on its own.
Yeah.
And it is like, I am here.
Assertive.
Yeah. Chris's favorite word.
I love lending personality.
Assertive. Aggressive, even.
Aggressive. Way more aggressive.
I find it aggressive, which is interesting because, again, that doesn't necessarily go with a sweet bomb thing that you were talking about. It definitely has a sweet profile, but...
But it's like an aggressive sweet bomb, which is weird.
Yeah. Which is, it makes it something that you want to have in your... in your rotation, maybe, you know, like it's sometimes you want that experience, and
it is very singular. Like where it hits on your tongue too for me is like way forward.
Yeah, same.
I don't know what that means.
I mean, I've heard all those diagrams are bullshit. So
of where it hits,
where on things touch on your. I mean, that's like I think somebody was like, it doesn't really.
It literally depends on where the liquid lands on your tongue. Oh, this is hitting me like mid tongue.
Yeah. Well, you put it mid tongue.
It's like the front half of my tongue and the roof of my mouth and my nose. It's like that. Like you could just draw like a little globe right there on my face, and that's kind of it's very weird.
It was hitting me in the knee, right in the left knee. Yeah.
Do you guys have a favorite?
Yes. Ooh. Easily the first one, the Fat Tome. Yes, Fat Tome is my favorite. This would be something that like the third one would be something I would. I'm interested in drinking again, but I'll always go for number one over. Yeah.
I think I have to agree. And this is all based on just my memory of that very first sip I had.
That's when you went to a different place.
Yeah,
you zoned out.
You literally couldn't hear us talking.
Jack and I actually noticed your eyes like went white and they rolled back in your head.
I said we were an hour and 40 minutes in. I don't know where you are. I don't know where you went for that hour. Jason and I had a great conversation. We caught up on all the people.
I was warging.
Amazing.
But yeah, it was kind of like, wow, this is a really amazing whiskey. I was just struck by how delicious I thought it was. It was like tangy and kind of sweet, but it also had like this kind of really profound thing going on in the back end that was weird and I couldn't tell what it was. However, I think Jack, you're the same way. Like I just really appreciate whiskeys where I'm like, that was a singular experience, and I don't know if I would ever mistake this for anything else, you know, which is kind of how I feel about this third one.
I mean, I keep talking about how I'm fascinated by how all these brown liquids can taste different.
Yeah.
And the third one we had.
The contradiction.
That's good.
Yeah. I like it. Mm-hmm.
It's way better than the sweet explosion.
Or Pop Rocks.
which is where I was going.
The Pop Rocks contradiction.
The contradiction is, it's just like something about it. Like, I don't want to have it every day, but I want it on my bar.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm a number one drinker, aspiring to be a number three drinker.
That's good. Well, but so again, like, let's talk about context. Like, what's your context for this one?
Well, I think what did we just call it? The contradiction. Mm-hmm. I want to drink in a group because I want to see people's faces when they smell and taste this thing.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't think it's easy.
No,
like it's definitely, this is a challenging.
Like I would not, if you're not into whiskey, I don't want you to drink the contradiction.
Yeah.
Because I think it might turn you off to it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I think this has for sure the thing that people who don't, maybe not people who don't like whiskey as opposed to other liquor, like, but maybe people who don't like liquor in general would hate this because of the way it just like plays in your mouth.
Yeah.
Like it just is, it's kind of shocking.
Actually. Yeah.
Yep.
It's kind of shocking.
Wait, I don't want to name him, but a mutual friend of ours.
Whose name starts with A?
Yeah. Yes.
Damn.
He was talking, this is months ago, but he was talking about, he's like, I don't like the taste of liquor. Like I drink it because it makes me feel good. And you know, there's and I'm like, what? Like really? It's like the best thing. It's the best flavor. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't relate, but yeah, that's he's probably the drinker who I'd be like, probably stay away from number three.
Don't drink the contradiction. Cause will not have a good time.
Right.
So context is like you're with other whiskey drinkers and you're like, hold on.
Yeah.
I've got something for you to check out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like we have turned off the mics and then opened up the liquor cabinet and just like gone crazy a couple times.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you got to try this. Mm-hmm. You got to try this. Mm-hmm. You got to try this. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is one of those things I want to pull out and be like, just wait. I don't care how many you've had. Yeah. You need to try this.
Right, right. Yeah.
It is definitely an experience.
You can show off to your to your whiskey friends.
This is like, this is the flair.
You think you got this thing figured out?
Yeah.
Drink this.
Yeah. Okay, so you went Japanese with no confidence. I mean, 100% confidence.
100% confidence.
Yes.
I will, if I'm wrong, I will eat this table in front of me.
Chris,
I can't wait to see that.
You have a guess?
I don't have a guess. This is just this is so singular to me. I mean, so obviously it's not a Scotch, right? Or maybe not obviously, but like
I have no idea.
It doesn't strike me as a Scotch because it doesn't have like that Scotch thing that you either love or hate, depending on how you feel about Scotches. But that like weird peaty, smoky, briny thing that Scotches have. You know, this tastes sweet to me for sure. That sweetness, like, it doesn't get covered up. It like it explodes, like sweet explosion for sure. So maybe a bourbon, but like a bourbon I've the likes of which I've not experienced.
I'm gonna go 100% specific and be 100% wrong.
Please,
I think this is Brenn. It's a French whiskey.
Ooh, wow.
Everyone always talks about how it's a sweet bomb.
Yeah.
I've never had it, but based on all the descriptions, I'm going with that.
Wow. That's so cool. I love it.
I think the closest thing this comes to for me is maybe Stag. Or Stag Junior, maybe.
Yeah, I've never had those, but I've heard that they're an experience.
I've only had Stag Junior, and it's kind of, it feels a little bit similar in my admittedly limited bourbon experience. Yeah.
Mm. Interesting. All right. Cool. You mentioned blends earlier, and I thought you were talking about blends. Showing my green here. But blends is a brand, yes? Of
what are you talking about?
Isn't that what you just said?
No. Oh. I thought you were talking about blend when we were talking about like what you're.
No. I did say blend. With a D, yeah.
Okay, cool. But is that a brand or is that...
So. No, just like blending whiskeys.
Okay, cool. That's what I thought you were talking about.
Blend, it sounds like a Scottish name, maybe. Blend.
I am Mr. Blend. It's my daughter, Lady Blend.
Blend the younger.
All right, do you want to do the Infinity Bottle or do you want to find out what we had?
Oh, man. What have we done in the past? Have we
usually
found out
we call
first?
Billy and then we find out, but we could change it up. What are you feeling?
Man, I mean, Jason, you're our guest. What do you want to do?
I want you to stick to your format.
Okay.
Our very loose format. All right.
I want you to call Billy.
I guess we're calling Billy.
I'm going to call Billy, see if he answers.
I am very anxious to find out what whiskey number three is.
Same.
Yeah, I'm very curious.
This is exciting.
See if he's in Hawaii, has his toast.
Hey, Jack.
Hey, Billy.
Hi, Billy.
How's it going?
Hey, Billy.
Hey, everybody.
It's going good. So we have finished the tasting.
Nice.
In the revised order.
Nice. Good. I thought about the order, and I figured it was just a better way to approach it.
Oh, good. That's great.
We're very pleased with your decisions.
Yeah.
All right. So the first one we are calling... Fat Tome. And
okay. Should we tell him why?
No, he doesn't even know why.
But the first one is number two, right?
Yeah, number two. Sorry, you know the numbers. Okay, so number three we are calling... I forgot.
Oh, what did we call that?
So it was good.
Oh, it was very memorable.
I don't know. I completely lost it.
Oh, it's gone. Okay, number three, the last one.
Oh, no, I got it. The Smack.
The Smack.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The Smack.
That's right. Never would have gotten that in a million years.
And then the last one, which was the original number one, we called The Contradiction. Mm-hmm. AKA okay. The Sweet Explosion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Sweet Explosion. That's my kind of whiskey.
Yeah, you actually might really like it.
It's my favorite Flaming
Lips
album.
You know, we've made some guesses, but we really don't have a clue. What did we have?
Okay. So the first one is Straight Edge Bourbon.
Okay.
Which is a non-distilling producer from Napa. It's from the former winemaker at Oren Swift Cellars.
Okay.
Never had their wine.
Okay.
But it's a blend of 5, 7, and 8-year-old whiskeys.
Oh, okay.
Sourced from Kentucky and Tennessee. And wow. It's finished in French oak barrels for 4 to 5 months.
Wow.
Cool.
Wow.
Yep. The mash bill on it is about 70% corn.
Oh, wow.
Which is, pretty high.
Yeah.
And then it's otherwise rye and wheat.
Okay.
Interesting.
And then the other cool fact is that the barrels come from the winery, from Oren Swift Winery.
Oh, okay.
Where they used to have cab in them.
Oh, that explains the color.
So non-distilling meaning that...
Yeah, it is. It's dark. It's almost red.
It is.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, well, that would definitely explain that. That's cool. I mean, the thing is, I haven't actually seen these whiskeys or tried them myself.
So. Yeah. Hey, you want to be on next week?
Yes, please.
Okay, the second one you tried, but number 3 on the list.
Yeah.
Is Amador Whiskey, which is a double barrel bourbon whiskey.
Okay.
It is a bourbon from Napa.
Oh, okay.
And not actually wrong, because they take it's a blend of 3 to 10-year-old bourbons, but before they're fully barrel aged, they're shipped out to Napa to Trinchero Family Estates, which is another winery out there, and then they do another round of aging in wine barrels.
Wow.
So it starts on American oak, and then it goes to the barrels used at the winery.
Okay.
So, huh. Not every day you get a bourbon from California.
Yeah, and so, okay, that's the one we really thought was a rye. It really tastes like a rye.
I don't know what the mash bill is on
that. No, but I mean, if it's a bourbon, it's, 51% corn.
Right. And then the last one is Sonoma Second Chance Whiskey, and it's their wheated version, as you probably picked out from the Sweet Explosion.
Yeah.
It is 119.5 proof.
Oh, yeah. We tasted that.
Yeah.
I think
that's where the contradiction comes in. The sweetness of the wheat and the cast strength.
It's intense.
It is.
It is a grain to glass distillery. So they do everything in-house.
Okay.
And they use that Alembic pot distillation, which I forget what that is, but I remember that it's a special thing.
Yeah, we talked on the show about pot still.
Yeah.
Nice. It's primarily unmalted wheat and malted rye. And it's aged in rye whiskey barrels.
Cool.
Wow. Very cool.
Interesting.
So is the theme like California?
NorCal.
Yeah, I didn't really actually come up with a clever theme for this one. I've just been wanting to do this tasting for a while, but it's basically California wine whiskeys.
Yeah. Super cool.
So interesting.
That's awesome.
And then they range from, if you notice, one is just blended in California,
mm-hmm.
the other is partially aged in California, and then the other is entirely done in California.
Wow.
And that's why I changed the order, so you could progress through the stages of California.
Wow.
Yeah, and the order worked well for the tasting as well. Like, I know you're kind of operating blind on taste, but it worked really well.
It did. Agreed.
Good. Total dumb luck on that part.
We attribute it to the beach of Hawaii.
So what was your favorite? I mean, give me a clue here.
The guys across from me both really loved
Straight Edge.
Straight Edge, the first one.
Correct.
I'm kind of torn. I liked all of them. I think I would take number one, the contradiction, mm-hmm. just because it is so weird.
Yeah.
And it's unlike anything else I've had. Like, I don't think I've ever had that high a proof a weeded bourbon.
Yeah.
It's bananas.
That's true. Almost everything you get in weeded bourbons is like in the high 80s.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Like Maker's Mark and things like that come at such a low proof.
Yeah.
You got to say give me some of that. I want to try that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Billy.
Thank you, Billy.
No problem.
Thanks, Billy. Love you.
Love you, too.
All right. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye, man. Wow, that's great.
So we just had a bunch of California bourbons.
That's awesome.
I mean,
I never would have guessed.
That's as good as possible, in my opinion. Like, there's something undoubtedly romantic about a Scotch or an Irish whiskey. But how great to have bourbon from your own state.
Absolutely. God bless California.
That is such wonderful.
A great testament to how different finishes and how different like mash bills can really affect the end. Like you can have such different, they're all made relatively NorCal. I mean, some of it's sourced, it sounds like, but it's like, they're all so different, way different.
Amazing. They're all very distinct too.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Like there's a lot of whiskeys I've had where I'm like, yeah, that's a whiskey. And like, I kind of struggle to like come up with like something new to say about it, you know? And I was not struggling this week with to come up with a new descriptor.
What was the proof on that that third one again?
He said 119.
119, yeah.
Which I think is the limit of what you can sell in California.
Oh, for real?
Like, you can only sell 120 in
second
California.
Second chance. Sonoma second chance. Yeah.
That's high. Wow. That's high.
Whew.
How's that striking you?
That is so different.
Not very bourbon-y, I would guess, right? If I remember correctly.
Definitely not bourbon-y.
I didn't want to say anything. I just wanted to see what you're going to say.
I mean, mostly scotch, right? Yeah.
And what bourbon in there has been drowned out by the scotch.
Yeah.
So when I was fumbling for words trying to describe like a typical scotch, this, what I'm smelling right now from our infinity bottle, is what was in my head for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing with the peaty Scott, like the Laphroaig and stuff, is it overpowers.
But there's
everything.
Almost no peat in that.
It just smells like olives to me. It's like it's what I think.
There's
I
really not.
There's only a little bit of Laphroaig from last week.
Well, there
and maybe it overtook. Maybe it took over.
Yeah, it's overtaking.
I mean, I've always been warning us that we should be very careful with the peaty.
Yeah.
Because it can't take over.
I think the brine thing is like olives. It's like green.
You gotta stop it with the brine.
It's like green olives.
Brine. You and your brine, Chris.
You gotta say green olives instead of brine. Then I'll like give you a pass.
Wow. And the taste is like, wow.
Yeah.
I do think I can taste a Laphroaig, even though it's like a small.
Right, I think it's the best whiskey I've ever had.
All right, so what of our California do you want to add to this?
Man, this is going to be, no matter what we add.
What are we going for? What are we trying to do with this
infinity
bottle? I think
we need to try to balance it out a little. Yeah. It feels a little overpowering in Scotch land.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely heavily in Scotch land right now.
I'm tempted to say go with number one because it's almost the anti- Infinity bottle right now.
It really is.
It's like nothing like our infinity bottle.
It is.
It might break it.
Yeah.
But who cares? I mean.
But how interesting a bourbon in a scotch.
Well, I mean, this thing's an abomination.
How do the whiskey roddy feel about bourbons versus scotches? Are there people
There isn't a whiskey roddy. Chris likes to think that there are people out there.
Do you mean like the people that make the set the standards?
The people who are
taste.
Like, well, bourbons are for backwards.
I mean, if you want to talk about like magazines, I think bourbon in general has been making a huge comeback.
Oh, cool.
Or comeuppance to becoming like. People love it. Like people are coming closer and closer to like saying, I mean, they are equals.
Yeah.
They're all whiskey, but it's like the latest is Henry McKenna bottled in bond. Mm-hmm. Like people are freaking out about that.
That's a big one,
which is like a 4-year old whiskey.
Huh.
And it's just like, people are going nuts over it. Like so much so that liquor stores are marking it up. And
it's a disruptor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
And then I just read about George Dickel bottled in bond is also supposed to be amazing.
Oh, I haven't tried that. Yeah.
What does bottled in bond mean?
Ooh, that mellowed it out. Bottled in bond means it's at least 100 proof and it's at least 4 years old.
Oh,
and then it's got all the normal bourbon rules.
Okay.
That's less scotchy.
Yeah, for sure. It really is. Yep.
You like
I
it?
I think it kind of worked.
It did work.
If our goal was to mellow it out.
Yep. Absolutely. Are you just eyeballing it?
Or oh,
are you,
yeah, are totally you okay? eyeballing it.
There's no science
being,
involved
at here. First, I was being really conservative, and now I'm being a little heavy-handed because
right.
who knows what it's going to do.
Sure.
I still get the smoke,
I had
for
Chris
sure.
do it.
Not yeah, a good idea. Absolutely.
Yeah. Don't have me add to the infinity bottle.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still getting the smoke, for sure. I'm getting less of the green olive.
Thank you.
I'm getting less of the flavor formerly known as brine. Yes.
So how do we end the show, Chris?
I like it. I like it all. Okay, so we end the show by doing a parting. Each of us has a parting glass, and that is a metaphorical glass, not a literal glass. And that is any thoughts you'd like to leave our listeners with here at the end of our whiskey podcast episode.
I'm going to go first.
Please.
I'm going to say, always, you know, trust your senses, but spring for that one bottle that you want to show off a little bit with.
Yeah.
Like for me, it was the contradiction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want that bottle on my bar because I'm not going to drink it. I'm going to drink it really slowly.
Yeah.
But it is like something I want people to try. Mm-hmm. So I think everybody should have that one whiskey on their bar that's like, yeah, I've had that for 3 years. I'm only a quarter of the way through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's about the relationship that it builds too. Yeah. Maybe it doesn't build the relationship, but it's an experience you have with other people.
It's singular, like we talked about.
Yeah. Which, I mean, there's obviously something to an enjoying a whiskey on your own and having a moment of solitude.
Yeah.
I think all that's great.
That's interesting. We went from solitude to I want to share with the class.
We took our the little full journey today.
It's a big journey.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that. That's interesting.
We went from introversion to extroversion.
Yeah. Mm.
That's good.
Yeah.
Do you have any parting glass, Chris?
Be open to being surprised. I was very surprised by... I love when I taste a whiskey that I'm like... I didn't know that whiskey could do that. Mm. And that obviously has happened to me a lot over the last, what is it now, 7 episodes. Because I was, and still am, such a newcomer to the field. But I didn't know a whiskey could do what whiskey number 3 did.
Yeah. Mm.
And how great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How great that I know that now.
Right. Yeah.
You have any parting glass?
I mean, we've got 3 great California bourbons here. We've got it all here in California. Secession now. Now. And and also, yeah, I think challenge yourself. You know, like, I mean, that's what this is. And maybe it's just this year. It's not these 3 whiskeys necessarily, but just the fact that I'm, you know, drinking, we're doing the 3 blind drinks and taking the Pepsi challenge and, you know, stuff like that. But like, drink something out of your comfort zone. I mean, have expand your experience. And
like you're a bourbon guy, right? You came on the show, you said, I drink bourbon. That's it.
Yeah.
Like everyone else go fuck themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what you said.
I'm just quoting you. I shouted it. It's the first thing. When I walked through the front door, I screamed that.
We can play back the tape.
But these are all bourbons.
Yeah, I know.
And we had a visceral reaction to a couple of them.
This is fascinating because like since you invited me on the show, I've been like, it's going to be scotch. I'm going to have to figure out what to do because I don't really like scotch very much. So, and then here we are with 3 bourbons. Yeah.
That all tastes crazy different from each other.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Crazy different.
Yeah. Well, that's the other takeaway is a testament to the variety within the city of bourbon. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Jason, thanks so much for being on.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Everybody, thanks for listening. As always, drink slowly and get to know each other.